This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
You know that feeling when you are sitting in a boardroom, the fluorescent lights are humming, and this debate kicks off that feels like it has been happening since, I don't know, the dawn of the internet.
Oh, yeah. The classic standoff.
Right. So on one side of the table, you have these executives pounding their fists saying, like, people are busy. Keep our messaging short. Make it punchy. Get straight to the point.
Yep. The demand for brevity.
Exactly. And then on the other side, you have the marketing team, right? And they're clutching this massive pile of data, just pleading, no, we need comprehensive content if we ever want to actually be found online.
Yeah, and for years, businesses have essentially just, you know, surrendered to this really weak compromise. They end up with this generic mid-length content that doesn't actually satisfy either side of the table.
Just sits there doing nothing. Hmm. But looking at the digital landscape of 2026 today, that compromise is, well, it's no longer just ineffective. It is actively punishing your business.
Strongly agree with that. It's a massive liability now.
Yeah, so today, we are unpacking this incredibly insightful industry piece by Joe Medico from Double Dome Digital Marketing. The title is Content Depth Strategy: Why Longer Content Almost Always Outperforms Shorter Content, and the Exception to the Rule.
It's a really fantastic breakdown.
It really is. So for you listening, our mission for this deep dive is to decode exactly how you win the digital attention game right now, because this age-old debate of short and punchy versus long and comprehensive has finally been settled. And spoiler alert, artificial intelligence is the one that settled it.
It definitely forced our hand.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have all been in those meetings where everyone just wants a quick, snappy summary, right?
Right.
So why is this 2026 framework telling us that this instinct to be brief might actually be, like, destroying our revenue?
Well, to understand the danger of brevity in today's landscape, we really have to look at the mechanics of what Joe Medico calls the AI slump. We are operating in a fundamentally different internet ecosystem than we were even, like, a few years ago. So think about that CEO in the boardroom you mentioned. That executive doesn't actually care about word counts or the nuances of search engine algorithms or any of that.
No, not at all. They care about scaling a predictable system.
Exactly. If they are authorizing, say, a $15,000 a month retainer for a digital marketing agency, they want a clear line of sight into what that capital is yielding.
Yeah, they want a dashboard that basically says, spent X, made Y, not, you know, a philosophical discussion about whether to use adjectives.
Right. And historically, what that $15,000 bought was a strategy built on high volume, thin content. The old playbook was literally an industrial assembly line.
Just churning it out.
Yeah. Churn out hundreds of these little 300-word blog posts to try and cast a massive net across every possible keyword. The logic was just, you know, more pages equaled more traffic.
But then the AI slump happens.
What's fascinating here is that the AI slump is this phenomenon where this thin content is now being systematically and aggressively filtered out by search algorithms.
Filtered out meaning, like, it just gets shoved down to page 2 of the search results where nobody ever looks.
No, it is far more brutal than just losing your ranking. It gets completely cannibalized.
Why?
Yeah. Search engines are no longer directories that, you know, hand you a map and suggest you drive to a website to find your answer. They are answer engines now.
Answer engines.
Right. So if you publish a surface level 300-word post today, a large language model will scrape that page, extract the, say, 2 actual facts hidden in your text, and synthesize those facts into a 2-sentence summary.
And it just serves it directly to the user right on the main search page.
Exactly. No click required.
So publishing thin, short content in 2026 is basically like putting up a massive, expensive billboard in a town where everyone suddenly learned how to teleport.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Like, the billboard is technically still there.
Right.
It's standing by the highway, but nobody is ever going to drive past it to see it because AI just teleported the consumer straight to their destination.
That analogy captures the mechanical reality perfectly. The bot gets the data it needs to train its model. The user gets the immediate answer without ever clicking a link. And you, the creator who actually funded that content, you get absolute zero.
Nothing.
No traffic, no brand awareness, no lead generation. You have completely lost the interaction because you offered something so shallow it could just be digested instantly.
I mean, think about the last time you, the listener, searched for something on your phone. Did you actually click a link, wait for a website to load except the annoying cookie banner, and, like, scroll through a page? Or did you just read the AI-generated summary right at the very top of the screen, get your quick answer, and close the app entirely?
Yep.
Because if you are behaving that way, your potential buyers are doing the exact same thing.
And that behavioral shift is the death knell for thin content. The foundational rule of the current web is basically this. If your content is easily summarizable, you are entirely replaceable.
Replaceable? That's scary.
It is. An AI model does not need to send a human being to your website if it already possesses the entirety of the value you just provided. You can no longer just post content and hope for clicks. You have to transition your digital presence into a technical backbone of authority.
Which naturally leads us to the core mystery of the current internet.
Right.
If this AI slump is swallowing up all our short, punchy articles and zero-click searches are the norm, what in the world is the AI actually looking for when it decides to, like, cite a source and actively funnel human traffic to a specific website?
Well, that brings us to the single most critical metric of 2026.
Okay.
Information gain. Modern search engines and AI models, specifically giants like ChatGPT and Gemini, they do not read your site the way early search crawlers did.
They aren't just looking for keywords anymore.
Not at all. They are evaluating your topical coverage. They are actively mapping out the semantic depth of your content, looking for the underlying why and how behind a buyer's query.
Topical coverage and semantic depth. It sounds like these algorithms are grading a university thesis rather than indexing a marketing blog.
Mechanically speaking, they kind of are. These large language models operate in vector space. They map relationships between concepts. If you publish an article that says the exact same things as the top 10 results on Google, you are just a redundant node in their map.
You're just repeating the echo chamber.
Exactly. You offer zero information gain. Information gain is the delta between what the AI already knows from its vast training data and what your specific article brings to the table.
So it's about what's new.
Yes. It is the proprietary data, the unique analytical frameworks, the hard-earned field experience that an algorithm cannot simply guess or scrape from a generic competitor.
You have to inject net new knowledge into the ecosystem. So the goal is no longer trying to trick an algorithm into ranking you for a high-volume keyword using generic copy.
Exactly.
The goal is to become what Joe Medico calls the preferred AI answer.
You must establish yourself as the primary authoritative source. AI models function under a mandate to satisfy what computer scientists call entity confidence.
Entity confidence.
Right, because these models are, you know, prone to hallucination and error. Their developers program them to seek out mathematical certainty before they generate an answer. They need to know the information they are outputting is rock solid.
They don't want to look stupid.
Exactly. That means they require a definitive, highly authoritative source to anchor their responses.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because my immediate reaction to hearing, write massive, highly dense content so the AI cites you, is just sheer dread.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Like, doesn't writing huge, long articles just lead to absolute fluff? I mean, think about those keyword-stuffed recipe blogs from a few years ago.
The worst.
Right. You search for a pumpkin pie recipe, and you have to read a 3,000-word essay about the author's childhood memories of autumn leaves, the smell of rain, and, like, their grandmother's vintage apron before you can actually just get the measurements for the nutmeg.
Just give me the recipe.
Yes. If we are mandated to go back to long-form content, aren't we just returning to that user experience nightmare?
It is a totally valid fear, and it is a trap a lot of lazy marketers fall into. But the framework actually has a strict mechanism to penalize exactly that behavior.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, length for its own sake is a massive liability now. The new standard for AI entity confidence isn't just long. The standard is comprehensive utility.
Meaning every single word actually has to pull its weight.
Every section, every paragraph, every custom graphic must answer a real complex question that a buyer actually has. You are not artificially inflating a word count to hit some arbitrary 2,000-word benchmark. You are injecting information gain. If you start adding fluff about your grandmother's pie crust to a piece on corporate finance, you are actively lowering your comprehensive utility score.
You're just confusing the bot.
Exactly. You are diluting the semantic density of the page. The AI will recognize that noise, its entity confidence will drop, and it will skip right past you for a competitor who provided a dense, highly structured breakdown of the actual topic.
Okay, so it is entirely about the density of value, not the sheer quantity of words. But wait, if density of value and depth are the ultimate trust signals for these algorithms, shouldn't I just write 2,000 words on absolutely everything?
No.
Like, let's say I am an accounting firm posting an update about a simple Q3 tax deadline. Shouldn't I write a massive historical deep dive on taxation to prove my authority?
That is the exact opposite of what the framework demands. The Double Dome article provides a very clear, bifurcated decision matrix for when to use depth, and it relies heavily on understanding the user's commercial intent. So the matrix is divided into long form and short form, and they serve entirely different psychological and algorithmic purposes.
Break down the mechanics of that matrix for us. Like, when are we deploying the heavy artillery with long form?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, long form, which the industry defines as about 1,500 words or more, is deployed specifically for competitive commercial queries.
Commercial queries?
Yes. This is the content you build when a buyer is deeply entrenched in the research phase and is actively vetting your expertise to solve a complex, expensive problem.
Give me an example.
A great example query from the piece is someone searching how to scale a B2B logistics system.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes total sense. If you are a logistics director at a massive enterprise and you are searching for how to scale a B2B system, you are absolutely not looking for a punchy 3-sentence summary.
Not at all. You'd be terrified if that's all they gave you.
Right. You are facing a multi-million dollar structural challenge. You want to see that the company writing the article actually comprehends the nightmare of supply chain bottlenecks, legacy software integration, and, I don't know, automated warehouse management.
Exactly. For a query with that much inherent complexity, a 300-word post doesn't just fail to rank it, actively damages your brand's credibility.
Because it makes you look like an amateur.
Right. It signals to the buyer and the AI that you do not grasp the gravity of the subject matter. For commercial queries, the sheer depth of the content is the primary trust signal. Now, contrasting that, we have short-form content, defined as under 800 words.
Okay.
This serves as the strategic exception to the rule.
And this is where my tax deadline example comes into play.
Precisely where it comes into play. You leverage short-form for low-competition informational queries or direct fact answers where the buying intent is nearly non-existent.
Right.
A search for Q3 tax deadlines for 2026 is a navigational query. The user intent is purely transactional regarding information.
Because if I am searching for a tax deadline, I just want a date to put in my calendar. I do not want the philosophical history of taxation in early America, and I definitely don't want a breakdown of the IRS organizational structure.
Exactly. The underlying philosophy of this framework is matching the cognitive load of the query to the depth of the answer.
Match the cognitive load.
Yeah. A complex logistical problem requires a high cognitive load to solve. Therefore, the content must be correspondingly deep and nuanced. A simple calendar date requires almost zero cognitive load. Therefore, the content should be brief and frictionless.
That is so elegant.
The optimal length is exactly the number of words it takes to fully satisfy the user's specific intent. No more, no less.
So extrapolating that for the creator, right? If that accountant does sit down and force a 3,000-word magnum opus on tax deadlines, thinking that longer is always better, they are actually breaking the semantic mapping of the AI.
They are completely fracturing the user experience and the algorithmic mapping. By writing 3,000 words on a simple date, you fail the comprehensive utility test immediately.
Because it's all fluff.
Yep. You introduce massive amounts of fluff, you deeply frustrate the human user who just wants a number, and you signal to the AI's natural language processor that you do not actually understand the human intent behind the query.
Wow.
So for those low competition, low intent navigational queries, brevity still wins. But for anything where a human being is making a significant buying decision, deep structural authority is mandatory.
Let's follow that thread, because we need to look at the human CEO who actually has to sign the check at the end of this process.
Oh.
We understand the AI's perspective now, right?
Yeah.
We know that ChatGPT and Gemini demand dense semantic coverage to satisfy their entity confidence. But an algorithm doesn't have a corporate credit card.
Unfortunately not.
Eventually, an exhausted, time-strapped human being has to interact with this content and decide to wire you $50,000.
That is the ultimate bottleneck in any digital strategy. You can satisfy the bots all day long, but if the human rejects the presentation, the revenue stays at zero.
And let's be honest about human behavior here. High-value B2B buyers, the founders, the directors, the VPs, they are notoriously impatient.
Very much so.
If a VP of logistics lands on your perfectly optimized AI-approved 2,500-word wall of text, they're not going to like brew a cup of coffee and read it top to bottom like a Stephen King novel.
They're absolutely not going to read every single word, but assuming that means the length isn't working on them is a fundamental misunderstanding of buyer psychology.
Okay, explain that.
High-value B2B buyers do not read long-form content. They scan it for authority.
Scan for authority. Walk us through the actual mechanics of that. Like, what is happening in their brain when they land on the page?
It happens almost entirely visually within the first few seconds of scrolling. When that executive lands on your long-form article, their thumb immediately starts swiping up.
Yeah, we all do that.
Right. They are looking at the scroll bar to see how much mass is there. They are checking your H2 and H3 subheaders to see if you name the specific pain points they are experiencing.
They're looking for familiar territory.
Exactly. They are pausing on your custom data tables, noting the deep dive bullet points, and glancing at your proprietary infographics. All of those structural elements act as visual trust signals.
Visual trust signal.
Yeah, before they have even processed a full paragraph of actual text, the architectural depth of the page has communicated a subconscious message. This organization has fully mapped out this problem. They have the data. They are the definitive experts.
Ah, okay, so it's exactly like walking into a massive, meticulously organized library.
That's a good way to look at it.
Like if you walk into the Library of Congress to research a highly obscure topic, you're obviously not going to read every single book in the building. That would take lifetimes.
Right.
But just standing in the rotunda, seeing those millions of books meticulously organized on the shelves instantly alters your psychological state. It tells you, okay, the experts are here. I trust this institution to have the exact answer I need when I am finally ready to sit down and scan the index.
Yes.
The sheer volume of organized, accessible information creates instant, unshakable trust.
That is a brilliant visualization of the psychological mechanism at play. The depth itself serves as the credential, and deploying this strategy completely transforms the actual economic quality of the leads your business generates.
Tell so.
Well, under the legacy model of thin content, you might successfully trick an algorithm into sending you a massive spike in traffic, right? But it produces what industry analysts call high noise, low intent leads.
Ah, meaning people who click, realize you haven't actually answered their complex question, and then immediately bounce.
Yep. Or worse, they call your sales team and waste an hour asking basic qualifying questions that should have been answered on the website.
Which is just burning through your most expensive internal resources, your sales team's time.
Exactly. But when you implement a content depth strategy, the lead quality radically shifts to high precision, pre-vetted.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Right. By putting all your proprietary data, your most complex analytical frameworks, and your deepest answers out there up front, you naturally filter out the bad leads.
Because they get intimidated.
Yeah. The bargain hunters and the people who just want a quick, superficial fix get intimidated by the depth and leave. But the people who have a massive, agonizing problem and a corresponding budget to solve it, they stay.
Because they finally found someone speaking their language.
They scan the article, they absorb the visual trust signals, they read the one specific section that pertains to their bottleneck, and they realize you are the authority.
So by the time they actually pick up the phone to reach out to your sales team,
yeah.
The psychological battle is already won.
Exactly. They are essentially calling to ask for the contract.
Wow. This is how you transform that $15,000 marketing investment we discussed at the very beginning. This strategy basically turns your website into an automated growth engine that educates and filters prospects while your team sleeps.
Yes, and the entire CEO dashboard undergoes a paradigm shift because of it. You completely abandon tracking those outdated vanity metrics.
Because nobody can deposit clicks and impressions into a bank account.
I mean, wouldn't that be nice? But no. You move away from celebrating impressions and focus entirely on a dashboard that clearly tracks spent X, made Y.
Right.
You build a system that guarantees your highly paid sales professionals are only ever spending their valuable time talking to pre-vetted, highly educated prospects who have already bought into your methodology through your deep content.
We have covered incredible ground today. To survive the 2026 AI slump, the mandate is clear for you listening. We have to aggressively move past the fluff and the punchy, superficial legacy copy that used to clutter the internet.
So true.
By executing a true content depth strategy, one that is meticulously packed with information gain, we're essentially pulling off a masterful double play.
The double play, I like that.
Yeah. We are projecting visual authority to the scanning human executives who need structural trust signals, while simultaneously feeding the mathematically driven AI bots the exact semantic density they need to confidently cite us as the preferred answer.
And it is crucial to remember that to actually pull this off in the real world, businesses must rely on clear, honest data.
No more fluff.
Right. You have to strip away the marketing jargon and the corporate speak. Focus relentlessly on comprehensive utility. The end game is to permanently own the intellectual high ground in your market, not just chase fleeting clicks.
Absolutely.
You know, it is actually refreshing to look at the author of the source material, Joe Medico. The article notes that when she isn't deep in the trenches writing about digital authority or navigating these massive technological shifts, she completely unplugs.
Really?
Yeah, she spends time outdoors, hitting local cafes, and just, you know, being human.
I love that detail.
Yeah.
It is the perfect grounding reminder that behind all of this sophisticated AI strategy, you know, behind the vector mapping, the entity confidence, and the algorithms, there are just human beings trying to connect with other human beings to solve tangible, real-world problems.
It anchors the whole concept. And analyzing all of this, this raises an important question.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's one that wasn't explicitly covered in the text, but it feels incredibly relevant to the trajectory we're all on right now. If we are now actively redesigning our human knowledge, structuring our articles, our data, and our insights to serve as highly optimized information game, specifically so that AI bots will understand and cite us, are we fundamentally altering the way humans communicate with one another?
Oh, wow. That is a massive paradigm to consider.
Think about the mechanics of it. When we write strictly to satisfy an algorithm's demand for entity confidence and comprehensive utility, do we risk systematically stripping away our natural human voice, like our spontaneous storytelling and the weird little quirks that make communication enjoyable?
That's a little terrifying.
Right. Or is there a silver lining? Are we simply forcing ourselves to finally abandon the meaningless fluff and become as clear, precise, and universally useful as possible?
So are we training the artificial intelligence? Or is the artificial intelligence actively training us to be better, more efficient communicators?
Exactly.
That is a concept that is going to stick with me for a long time. It brings us full circle, right back to that fluorescent lit boardroom. The debate isn't really about word count anymore, is it? It's about whether you are willing to step up and be the definitive, authoritative voice in a room where the algorithms are listening just as closely as the buyers. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this empowers you to critically rethink your own content strategy, get out there, and start building your own technical backbone of authority.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.